So we had a great discussion on elemental beings, and now we are sitting in arguably one of the most beautiful places in the world, thanks to you and your invitation.
Yes.
Tell us what we're looking at.
This is part of the Lake of Thun, down there. And this is a famous mountain called the Nissen, which was very often painted, for example, by Paul Klee. I think even by Turner. Turner was quite a lot in Switzerland.
Yeah, it looks like a Turner vista.
Yeah. And on the other side, we saw yesterday
Jungfrau.
Tiger Mönch and Jungfrau.
Yeah.
And our friends who were who know the whole area were absolutely awed. They have never seen such a
vista.
Broad vista, which is what we need for looking at the world situation now.
Yes.
We need broad vistas. Don't you think so?
Yeah, it's certainly, as we're driving here, we're talking about someone saying that the archangels hang out here.
Yeah.
And that's what it feels like. It feels like you're getting into connection.
Yeah. And last night we read a little piece, if I might remind us, that we pass even beyond the spheres of the archangels to the archai, including Michael. That's a chance to open up. And I can tell you, I was awed by, when we went out and saw the starry heaven in full clarity.
Oh, the stars were beautiful. They were so clear.
And we saw the Pleiades. And the Pleiades is the far future of our Earth's evolution.
Yeah.
That's a helpful thought right now, that we think of the far future also. So it is a wonderful area, no doubt.
When I was in Uluru, you know, the Pleiades figure very much into the stories of the Aborigine in Uluru, but they said that the stars were the campfires of the ancestors in the skies waiting for us.
Yeah.
It was quite beautiful. And the fireworks.
And you have here a mixture of spiritual, like often, you have great impulses, like Beatus, the first missionary of Switzerland. First centuries even of after Christ, he came here. And there are the Beatus caves. And later, the wife of Steiner came here as a refugee place. And then later, you have all sorts of streams coming in. A Catholic Institute here, an Eastern Meditation Center, Erich von Däniken with his bit fancy books of visits from the cosmos, which I think is true, but he always takes it literally in a material way. That's the problem.
Yeah.
But people like that. And so it's now a mixture.
So the passage you read last night, which was quite beautiful, talked about the opportunity, the seeds that we plant at the turning of the year.
Absolutely.
And it was very interesting because we're sitting here looking. Some of your guests brought a Coburg rose. That's one of the most beautiful roses I've ever seen. We were taking pictures of it this morning with the mountains in the back. And so you were talking about the seeds of the new year. And I asked your son, you know, what's the flower for the year? And he said a rose.
Yes.
So this morning I've been calling it the year of the rose.
By the way, sorry to comment. It's not only the seed of the new year's eve, of course, also. It's the 12 nights.
Of the first 12 nights.
Which is a miniature zodiacal cosmos.
Yeah.
12. So if you go through, and I have found, for example, every month in the succeeding year has a hidden relation to the corresponding day within the 12 holy nights.
Right.
I found that the most shocking example for me was on January the 1st, 1924, there was a very ugly attack poisoning Rudolf Steiner.
It was on the first day of the year.
Exactly.
Wow.
On the first day. and it was a heavy attack. They used a devious poison which works on the astral and etheric body in a rhythm of 7 days.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to tell you the story. It's really a hideous story, but...
It's not the story we're going to use to bless this day, first day.
But coming back to the 12 nights, that was on the 1st of January. And in the corresponding month, which was September, successing year, the great troubles of health ending Steiner's life were coming in. So the 9th month, the 9th day, or the 8th maybe. So this, the 12 nights are in that sense a seed for the whole complete year.
So last night, so you read the passage, it was very beautiful, and then when, of course, the fireworks going off against the lake and the mountains were spectacular with the clear sky.
Yeah.
But then our neighbor right next door let off this series of almost 5 minutes straight of spectacular fireworks. And what came into my spirit was, you know, our neighbors who've been so quiet are going to dazzle us with their pushback this year. And then another neighbor did it at about 1 or 1:30. Boom, 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 boom. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, the pushback is going to come strongly and dazzling from all the places that have been silent this year. That's I could feel it.
Beautiful thought.
Yeah. Okay, so Year of the Rose, we talked about elemental beings.
Elemental beings, and maybe I repeat for the listeners very quickly, there are two classes. First, those who are in the world without us, the beings of water, of earth, of air, and of fire that are known in history, salamanders, undines, etc., etc. They are there in creation. We have not created them. These are the elemental beings of the normal class. Then there are elementals that were simply not there if we would not produce them through our moral or rather immoral attitudes of feeling and of thoughts. And we spoke about the three. The first relate to the physical, the second relate to the etheric, and the third to the astral bodies of man. And in the physical, we have the first class of these beings that are engendered through our lies that go into the physical body at night, leave little marks, and then when we are out of the body, higher beings have to dwell into the physical, otherwise the physical body would be lifeless and not usable in the morning. And then they find these marks which don't fit their high nature. Then they have to sweat away, so to speak, these marks. And this process engenders the elemental beings of the second kind. And the first was the phantoms, that's a technical term. Of course, one can use the word in many other ways, but here is meant the lie beings that are produced by us. The seconds are the spectres. We didn't talk much about it. By sweating away from in the night, what was in the etheric body,
mm-hmm.
and they are related to the omnipresent bad laws. Laws have to do with the etheric, and so far, understandably, this is custom, this is time, this is...
it's the calcification of the laws.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, also, yeah, of course, there is an interaction of the three. And the third are the, in the technical term, the demonic beings, which are engendered by all sorts of, you must think like that, you must, and if you don't, then you're just not right. You are an enemy of health and of humanity. I mean, in that sense, we have all the three, the unholy trinity of phantoms, spectres, and demons are at the core of the public life.
It's a huge energetic cluster, you know what?
Absolutely, and you called it.
That's why you feel this grinding. Right. It's like running through saltwater taffy. I know. Yeah,
You use the right term, good term, I think, constituencies.
You create a massive...
constituencies of spiritual beings.
Right.
And I think it's a great help if now for the coming year, also these aspects are not neglected in the whole discussion of the world events.
So we need to invite them all to go make movies and write fictional books. They need to write science fiction and make movies.
And take these things seriously. And what we didn't touch, maybe that we could briefly add, as the beings are created by us, if we would have stayed pure as in paradise, we all were pure, we know that, no phantoms would be around, no right. Spectres, no demons.
Well, but here's the thing. Let's say you have a group of people who've done a fairly good job of staying clean. I'll say clean because nobody's perfect in this world. And then you have people who are, you know, creating phantoms every time you turn around.
Mm-hmm.
How does the one deal with the other? In other words, because I can work to keep myself clean, but if I have to navigate a world full of these energetic...
I think the key is the magic of knowledge, the magic of spiritually know that these beings exist,
mm-hmm.
is already a freeing you from
right.
being attacked.
And because part of it is you learn how to protect yourself
yes.
from it.
Yes.
You know it's real and it exists,
yes. Yes.
right?
And we have talked about the experience that everyone, every truth seeker can make, that of course these phantoms to begin with resist being detected and removed.
Right.
They are like glued to the events, so that many people believe in the events as having this layer of lies around them, like First World War, Gulf of Tonkin, Kennedy assassination, etc., etc. And then you make an interesting experience. If you want to uncover the fact there, you can meet the resistance, which is the resistance of these being pushed away from their beloved places, so to speak. And that's part of the process. The next step is, and we didn't touch on that, as we created these beings, we in a way have the responsibility to provide also help for their future evolution.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They need to go make movies and write science fiction novels.
Right. And then
let them invent something useful.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the phantoms, the minute they are not linked to the ordinary, let's say simple, the truth aspect of things, then they can be freed to what we call, in a good sense, imagination and fantasy. And I used to say, there are people who lie, who are good liars, if there is something like a good liar.
There is.
Yes.
They're good. They're great liars.
Great liars. They use some imagination. So the imagination is the positive force that can be freed, not to be related directly to facts and truths. And
uh-huh.
that's the realm of art in the
yeah.
best sense.
Yeah. So, yeah, so we get
to
them painting
the
phantoms
and to right. just change the field of your action, and then you're
right.
benevolent.
Right.
With the spectres, I think that's a bit more difficult, at least for me.
Right.
What is the good thing that can come off bad laws?
So they can give us nightmares that help us realize, you know, how to navigate.
Maybe.
Warnings.
Yeah. And how do you...
What happens if we listen to them?
Okay. And how do you evolve demons, which are very, very, all the three categories you talked about.
You know what you do with the demons? You get them killing each other.
Killing each other?
Yeah. Midianite thing.
Well, I don't know. This is the full picture.
Keep them preoccupied with their own
yes,
spider webs.
Maybe for a certain time. But in the end, these beings that we created, they have a future evolution. I don't think that could be that they annihilate each other. That is not the whole future for me. But what could come out of that? You could maybe say, if you get firm convictions, not dogmatic, but based on facts, also on spiritual facts, firm as rocks, you turn the dogmatic tendencies of the demons into something
protecting solid. Protecting hard science.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So they're like the food dogs.
Yes.
You turn them into food dogs.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And that's not so easy, but that is an aspect which is not to be neglected. Also, yeah. In the demonic thing, there is a positive aspect.
Right. It's like the mountains. They don't move. Right.
That we can see here, can't we? If you look at the three mountains, Eigenmönch and Jungfrau,
yeah, they don't
after
move.
Having looked into the world events, which are shaking, changing in every second.
Yeah.
Even in Switzerland, you have to be up to date for the new measures by the government every second. You know, and then you look at these mountains. It's like a laugh.
Yeah.
Looking down at all these things, and they stayed there thousands of years ago. They will stay thousands of years
right.
in the future.
Right. So, okay, so let's turn to Michael. You ready?
Yeah.
So I just wanted to touch on Michael because he keeps coming up and coming up and coming up all year long. I think many people feel a connection to Archangel Michael. So talk to us a little bit about Michael and the Age of Michael.
Whew. Well, as you know, the Age of Michael started in 1879. But there was a Michael age before. There are seven archangels which become sometime for 350 years roughly time spirits. So there was a former time of Michael that was in the Greek time. Aristotle, Plato, even the big, the wise man of China who read...
Confucius?
No, his colleague, he also.
Sun Tzu?
No, the one who was behind Tao Te King, mm-hmm. Lao Tse.
Lao Tzu,
that was a Michael time.
Uh-huh.
So in a Michael time, you have an expansion of impulses globally, more or less, cosmopolitan. When I was a young man of 16,
the Enlightenment.
Yeah,
Enlightenment. It's a time of Enlightenment.
It's Enlightenment, but it's always cosmopolitan. It's not national. You know, mm-hmm. when I was first heard the word cosmopolitan, when I was about 18, I found that wonderful and marvelous because it expands. So Michael has a cosmopolitan global function of spreading light of understanding of all sorts of things, physical and supernatural. One characteristics. Another, I think, is among all the archangels, there are seven. Gabriel, Raphael, Samael, Mars, Zachariel, Orifiel, Anael. Of all the other six archangels, which you find in occult literature throughout the ages, they were known. Michael is the one who is leading in a way that he needs the contribution of the human beings. So we have to meet him half on the way, then he helps us. He doesn't help people just sit there and pray and wait for miracles. That's important. I don't think Michael can be active easily today if people don't want to meet him. That means
right.
they have to know
he
about
requires
him.
Responsibility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Knowledge of him. Those people say, oh, that's only folklore and mysticism and so on.
No, so there were so many times during the litigation when I was cornered and I was told it was hopeless and the lawyer said, you have to settle, you have to do this, you have to do that. And I said, no, I won't. And it was hopeless.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as I said, no, I won't, I'm going to stand.
Mm-hmm.
And if I die, I die. And then boom, suddenly a window opens and you're like, what was that?
This is your magical attitude, Catherine, as far as I see it. And if somebody is ready to go through a death process for what he thinks is the truth, that opens doors.
Right, but I studied spiritual warfare, and again we were told, and you can read this in scripture, you know, you must stand on the word, you must stand first.
Yeah.
And then the pathway opens.
Yeah.
You know, when I had studied that, I believed it. And, you know, and so when you have nothing else to try, you try it.
Yeah.
And it works.
Yeah.
And so I know that whether that was Mike Ayel or something else, mm-hmm. I know that if you stand,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, the power can come.
Yeah. Only then.
Right. Yeah. But you have to be prepared to stand even if it doesn't come.
Yeah.
In other words, you stand because you stand.
Yeah.
And then it comes or it doesn't come.
I think that's accurate. Absolutely good description of the inner attitude needed to meet beings like Michael.
Right.
Michael is the time spirit, but he is overlapped by the spirit who wants to rule our time, especially. This is Ahriman.
Right.
And Ahriman is ruthless. Ahriman doesn't wait for these inner conditions.
Right.
You know, that you just described.
Right.
He goes in whenever he can.
Yeah. Yeah. He'll take over.
He take over and he has no understanding and guts or freedom. Freedom is nothing for him. Everything
has he loves children. He loves adults who behave like children.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, but like puppets.
Right.
And this is the big fight in our time. Behind the behind the walls of external events, we have a war between Ahriman, who wants to subdue all beings.
Yeah, but I will add that if you look at the technology, the high technology they're using for mind control,
mm-hmm.
it's very significant.
Of course.
And they've poured trillions into creating this.
Yes.
This, you know, a lot of money from Epstein and Madoff and all the financial frauds have gone into brain research and brain science.
Yes, of course,
and,
it is significant. Right. But that means that the Michaelic beings are seemingly in the minority, like the Gideon army. They are in the minority and they have to understand homeopathy in a larger sense. Homeopathy means you don't count how many people are for this or that, but you count. You look at the qualities. That's the difference.
Right, but the interesting thing is, in my view, Mike Ayel has all the power. So Mike Ayel can slay the dragon. It's just that he won't do it for us. He will help us do it.
Absolutely.
But the good news is, if we will stand and we will act.
Yeah.
You know, then we have all the power.
Yes, then he's leading our land, so to speak.
Right.
But this is his nature of king, a kin. He is a kin. What is it? He is a Christ being, because Christ had all the power in the universe. And there are, in the scriptures, mm-hmm. a few passages where he said, "Don't you think if I want it, all the hierarchies would be there and helping me?" But he doesn't, because
he demands responsibility.
He demands responsibility.
Right.
And individual understanding. Otherwise, he would just work in a way that we had to believe.
Well, the beauty of the crucifixion story is Pontius Pilate knew it was bad politics to crucify Jesus, and he was trying to find a way out.
Yeah.
So he says to the crowd, "I'll let one off."
Mm-hmm.
And the crowd picks the criminal. Story of my life.
Yeah, crowd picks the criminal. Yeah.
Right. So that's the issue.
Yep.
Is in 2022, can we, you know, can we decide to choose righteousness?
You know, I think if enough people, and this is a homeopathic number, wake up, see also the ridiculous stories. It's ridiculous. In many ways. It's just a bad laughing show, isn't it?
It's like sort of, it's not even B grade, it's C grade science fiction.
No, it's so primitive in a way.
Yeah.
And if
it's like put Swiss cheese on your face and stop the virus.
Yes. If enough people wake up to that, that makes a change in the. In the whole climate.
So I just did an interview with Michael Palmer,
uh-huh.
who is a brilliant scientist and doctor. He and Sujoy Bhakti are the heart and soul of the Doctors for COVID Ethics.
Yeah.
And so So the show host was saying, oh, things are very dire. And he said, actually, there's a lot of reason for optimism. And she said, what's that? And he said, you know, we've been struggling our whole lives with covert control forces, mm-hmm. you know, judges and media and, you know, people who mm-hmm. are really working for the other side. And he said, now everybody's showing their face.
Yeah.
So now we know who's who. We know, you know, we know the old media is worthless. We know these judges are good and these judges are worthless. So everybody's, you know, it's like a coming clean process.
Exactly.
The infection is rising to the surface and we're seeing, you know, we can see, we're starting to find the good guys.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's rational hope, I would call it. That's not a luciferic or irrational hope. It's a hope based on this fact that things reveal themselves. You just have to wait a little bit. And now the revelation level is enormous.
Did I ever tell you about my 3D vision?
I don't know.
I was in 2000, when was it? It was 1994. One of the reasons I started my own company, Hamilton Securities, was so that I could try and test all the technology.
Yeah.
So the question as all this new technology was coming out is what would it mean to how a government would work or a municipality should work or a family should run their time and finances. So, you know, we would constantly get all the latest technology and try it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so one of the most brilliant IT guys I had would go out to dinner and just talk about the new technology and what it meant. And one of the things we were learning was you would introduce the internet and email to an organization and one group would grab a hold of it and their learning speed would skyrocket. And then the group that didn't grab a hold of it, their learning speed would stay much slower. And then you'd have this divide happening and all sorts of fights. We called it the data beast.
Mm-hmm.
So, as we're talking about this, I said to him, you know, we have to figure out what happens to an organization or a society or a community when the learning metabolism increases radically. And he said, you know, I have a friend who's a physicist out at Lawrence Livermore Lab. Let me call him and see what he says. So he goes to the payphone. That was the day. Remember the day when we used to have payphones?
Mm-hmm.
He goes to the payphone at the back of the restaurant, calls his friend at Lawrence Livermore because it's, you know, it's dinner time in Washington, but it's, you know, still work time in Berkeley. Anyway, mm-hmm. So he comes back and we're sitting at this table. The restaurant's very dark, candlelight. And he says, my friend says that when the learning metabolism goes up in an organization, the rate of entropy increases.
The rate of?
The rate of entropy increases.
Entropy.
Entropy. In other words, disillusioned.
Okay.
And just as he says that, I had the only 3D hologram vision I've ever had in my life. It was very dramatic and very clear. I saw two arcs of light sweeping through this mass.
Mm-hmm.
And one goes up to the light,
mm-hmm.
and all the denseness goes down to the dark. And as the arcs separate, there was a huge pop. And I jumped back and said to him, did you see that? And he said, no, what? He hadn't seen it. Mm-hmm. And to me, it was like mm-hmm. it was like watching a Michelangelo painting or something, or Da Vinci.
Interesting experience.
And what my interpretation of that was, you're watching a separation. And some go to the light and some go to the dark.
Yeah.
And it has to happen.
Absolutely.
And so
I think you touch on a deep principle.
Yeah.
The whole evolution. There was also this always at a certain point a separation, not for eternity, for some time.
Right.
So that those beings who left others could evolve in their better way.
Right.
And after a long, long time, it will come together.
Yeah.
That's a evolutionary principle.
Right. So I want to bring up now, I said I did something at the end of the year called Reflections, and I described our three goals for the year. And the first goal was we need to reach out and reach a helping hand where we can to people who've been damaged by the lies of COVID-19. We see so many people who've been, you know, they've been lied to about the economic restrictions. They've been lied to in connection with the masks or the tests. You know, we have people on our network who've been severely physically damaged just by the tests.
Yeah.
And then we have, of course, people damaged by the injections. You know, Mark Skidmore is working on a survey, and from my review of the early results that we did on our update list, this the damage from the injections is far more extensive than anything called COVID-19. And it's much more...
No doubt.
It affirmed my experience of talking to subscribers all around the world. You know, it's a very different experience in different places, so it's not uniform, but the damage is off the charts. Anyway, so we have all these people who've been harmed, and so I said, we have to reach out a helping hand.
Right.
Because if we can help them recover, they're our army.
Absolutely.
So...
They're our army. They are a big number, you're about to say, or what? I didn't understand.
Ah, there are millions of people. If you look at who's been harmed by the...
I might put in to this fitting, isn't it strange? Yesterday, last day of the year, beginning of the new year, by pure accident, as people usually think and say, I met my own nephew here, who at the end of a 5 minutes, 7 minutes talk, broke out in anger and pain and said, you have to think of me on January the 12th because my wife is forcing my own son to be vaccinated. So, and you say, reach out. That is a concrete thing. So I thought immediately, we have to help him. Either to help him that it doesn't happen, or then that this son is treated in the best way when he gets a vaccination. So by saying that, I wanted to say we have all the individual occasions and meetings to really spread the knowledge.
Right.
And to wake people up.
Right.
That's what
What I'm seeing, because we offer to send free Wim Hof books to people who've been harmed.
Yeah.
And so people have been writing in and telling their story of how they... And what I realize is they feel ashamed.
About what?
That they allowed themselves to be taken, you know.
In.
And if you look at what's happened over the last 20 years, you know, I remember going through that process myself of feeling ashamed. You know, I had to look in the mirror and say, I'm the patsy. So... You know, everybody's different, and I'm sure many, you know, some people are angry, some people feel ashamed, some people are just depressed, but so to me, we need to, part of our opportunity this year is to gather everybody who's willing to build the future.
Absolutely.
Right.
And make the courage that truth can be painful. But it's worth to undergo the pain if you really love truth and seek it.
Right.
Then you have all these delusion processes. You can handle them. You can say, yes, it's terrible that I was falling into all these pits, but it's now over. And I now see the truth in a higher light.
So we can't let the divide, you know, there are all these divide and conquerors, and they're trying to do and conquer thing between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And we can't let that happen, because if we let it happen, the vaccine passports will strip the assets from everybody.
Absolutely.
Whatever their vaccination status is. I just heard a wonderful presentation by Mary Holland from Children's Health Defense, who pointed out that part of stopping the passports, we have to stop the mandates. If we don't stop the mandates for children, they're going to get it on the schedule in the United States, and no one's ever been able to get anything deleted from
the
schedule.
You mean the mandatory vaccinations for children?
Right.
Yeah.
Now, my concern is if you stop the mandates, but you get the passports, then they'll just force the mandates through the passports.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we'll talk about that. Now, a couple things I wanted to point out before we go to talk more about passports. We have published several pieces of your Spiritual Science Academy, but this year we're hoping to publish, you know, we've envisioned, I think, 12 more, and we're hoping to publish as many of those as you care to do. But But maybe if you could just say a few words about what Spiritual Science Academy is going to be up to this year.
Well, it was your idea to introduce that, and I'm very happy. And this year we have open subjects about what is occult history, what is true human social organism, like threefold, with some sketch about threefold's destiny in the world since it came into the world in 1917, the whole devious way to stop, to try to keep it unknown is interesting in itself.
Yeah.
And I've studied that in detail.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. You wouldn't believe that.
I would believe that. I've seen it. I would absolutely believe it.
But I'm going to give some examples on that so that you can see the technique of certain occult groups to suppress the knowledge that would be helpful in our time to really become more or less global and popular. And then we have the education question, which is key.
Yeah.
It's all about education in the future.
Right.
And then we have the art question. What is actually real art? To make it very blunt, right now you could say there is no real art if you have not any spiritual perspective. You can only then reproduce materialistic experiences or life experiences. So real art is connected with the spiritual question. Then we have the question of the core mission of spiritual science. And maybe I have to add, spiritual science is not against natural science, but it's against the one-sided domination of natural scientific views, which we see in the whole COVID discussion. Many things are said which are one-sided, and they need complementary visions from spiritual science. Spiritual science is not the enemy of natural science, but it's a necessary complement. You know, I give you an example briefly. There is an American physiologist who made very good experiments. You can cut that out if it is too long. What happens when you decide to do something, maybe just move your finger? And then he studied in the brain movement and found just a split second before you do what you propose to do, there was a movement in your brain. And I think it's a perfect fact. But the interpretation is the problem, because he then said, that proves to me that the physical brain movements are at the base of anything. So there is no freedom. Yeah?
Right.
And from a spiritual scientific point of view, that is a wonderful experiment, but it should be looked at in another light. I'm going into that. Not now, it's too long. So that would be the hope, that one makes spiritual science, which some people call anthroposophy, but we don't in our series, because anthroposophy has been so contaminated with all sorts of things that I think that's the best term.
It's frightening to watch, but it's not just anthroposophy, it's happening across the spectrum.
Oh, yes.
In other words, so for example, one of the shocking things is, despite all the protections of religion in the Constitution, we see all the different churches and temples in the United States just completely allow themselves to be closed and controlled.
Yeah. Hasn't the EU tried to establish that there is no Easter, no Christmas festivals anymore?
I know. There was something about California canceling Christmas or something.
Yeah,
I don't remember because I don't pay it any
Uruguay
mind.
Uruguay canceled it. Uruguay.
Oh, really?
I've heard, yes.
Good luck with that.
Good luck with that. So our hope is that with this loose series, we create interest, for example, in what spiritual science through Steiner, who brought it into the world in the first way, and he's not the only one, has to say to the vaccination problem. And I could observe that people have never come to spiritual science or anthroposophy before. So, well, this could be said today.
Right.
About the vaccine and why you should not vaccine people, right, because you abolish spirit and soul and have then only the...
So long ago, Christopher Mann told me, who ran the Michael Institute in Wisconsin.
Great Britain.
He was from Great Britain. His wife was from Switzerland. She was Swiss.
Okay.
But they started the Biodynamic Institute in East Troy. So Christopher said, you've got to read all of Steiner. And it was overwhelming because, look at these hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of books and lectures.
It's no accident that you sit in front of the complete chaos.
The complete works of Rudolf Steiner is, how many books is that? A couple hundred books?
Yes, but listen, here I think one has to help people not to make a confusion. Steiner has written about 15 books that are key.
Right.
And all the others
are lectures.
And they're called the lectures, so to speak, oral footnotes to the books.
Right.
So you have to study the books and then the lectures.
But still, the 15 books are long books, they're big books. Anyway, so it was a daunting task. And I was thanked to a wonderful subscriber who would read to me when I was driving the highways.
Yes.
I read, not all 15, but I read a fair amount of Steiner. And through that, I got educated. I got a basic education in Steiner. And of course, then I met you, and you've helped me learn even more. So, but my hope for spiritual science is it will give in 12 to 15 lectures by you, it will give someone an introduction that was a lot easier than the one I had.
Well, I hope I can fulfill this promise.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, it'll be
fun. The last one will be, for me, in a way, the key one. It will show why is spiritual science concerned with reincarnation and karma in a modern way.
Right, but not everybody has 500 hours of highway driving to listen to Steiner.
Yeah, we make it short. And if you
but that's what I mean. It will. It will make it so much easier for somebody to understand the works and the teaching of Steiner.
Yeah.
Yes.
I hope so.
Yes. And and it'll be, trust me, I've done the 500 hours of listening on a highway, and I've done, a fair amount of listening to you at the lunch and dinner table, and you're a much better introduction.
Much better than what?
You're a much better introduction than 500 hours on the highway.
On the highway.
Yeah.
But you had a wonderful reader there, wasn't there?
Yes.
Anne Watson?
Yeah, I had a wonderful reader.
But
here's the thing. I'm a framework person.
Yeah.
If I have to go through all the twigs and branches before I can understand it's a tree, I go crazy. I need my framework first. So the idea of listening to 12 or 15 lectures that give me the framework before I dive in, that's what I need.
But that's the best method. That's going from the whole to the part.
Yeah, well, that's why we're doing Spiritual Science Academy.
Excellent.
They don't have to do 5 hours to get to the vaccine part.
Right.
Okay, so you and I want to talk about vaccine passports.
Yeah, and I have some question to you.
And you asked me because
that in the Europea.
Yeah.
And it should be short and clear and concise.
So because we're going to integrate it with this, I just want to say to all the listeners, you publish two magazines. One is your, call it Europea. I call it Europa.
Yeah.
And The Present Age is the English version.
Exactly. And we plan to go on with both for a while, as long as this is possible, as long as there is enough paper in Europe to print magazines. Then we have problems with our printer.
Well, we stockpiled. We bought a whole stockpile of paper.
Oh, good.
So our printer is sitting on lots of paper for our wrap-ups. Yeah.
Now, the thing is, we talked about the passport, and you helped me to understand the priority of now making concrete actions with other people. I was not that clear before. And if I understood you correctly, you have to correct me otherwise. You maintain that to obstruct the introduction of the vaccine passport is key, is number one. And that's why I asked you, and you can clarify, how far are we in front of the introduction, and why is it not mandatory so far? And then you said, I think in Austria they will try to bring it in February. And so could you briefly explain why you think to fight the introduction of the vaccine passport is more important than to directly find the mandatory vaccination, if I understood correctly?
Right. Although I would say we want to make sure that the mandatory vaccination of children does not get on the schedule.
Yes.
So that is equally, we have to do both. So
that is on the schedule even in Switzerland now.
The COVID-19 vaccination for children is not on the permanent vaccine schedule for schools.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the thing to think about, so the goal here is control.
Yeah.
And the vaccine passports are the next critical piece of a control grid of both surveillance, identification, and financial transactions that will turn your home and your community into a digital concentration camp. Okay? They will have complete digital control, and so they don't need to, they don't need to move you into a camp.
But why don't they introduce that mandatory to begin with?
Well, to get the system has been built using surveillance. So we have a smart grid, and they're building a system where they get surveillance equipment into your house through your phone, through your computer, through your TV, through Alexa, through these different devices. So they've been building digital devices that allow them to turn your home into not your castle. So your home goes from being your castle to being basically a place where you're trapped.
Yeah.
So they're trying to move your home from a castle to a prison.
Mm-hmm.
But as of yet, they do not have the ability to turn off your transaction. So right now, your credit card, if they say you can't move more than 5 miles from your home, your credit card and your debit card are not set up yet to turn off 5 miles from your home. But that's what they're moving to, okay? And so to turn your... to get there, they need the passport system. And the passport system, we're now seeing, unless you have, and they're doing both vaccination and tests, unless you have a vaccination and test that gives you a QR code, you can't go into a restaurant. In Austria, they're talking about you can't buy food.
Mm-hmm.
So slowly, whether it's your transportation, your travel zone, mm-hmm. or your ability to go to a theater, to go to a concert, they're setting up a system where you can't go to a concert unless you've done A, B, C as approved by the officials. Now, right now it's vaccination, but it's really, once you get the system and the grid in place, then you can switch it to all sorts of mandates. Think of vaccine passport as the last piece to snap into a control grid,
mm-hmm.
that gives them a meta mandate, which is, every mandate that I want to install today or forever, tomorrow, the next day, I can install thousands of mandates.
On that basis.
On that basis. Mm-hmm. Once you give them, so the vaccine passport is the meta mandate, that once it's installed in place, your home and your community is a digital concentration camp, and now they have complete control and they can mandate anything they want. If they mandate, something? Your child is very talented, so we want to take your child and use your child. We want to bring up your child and educate them in a certain way and use them as a super soldier. We're coming into your home and we're taking it. And if you don't let us take your child, we can turn off your food and mm-hmm. we can turn off your bank account mm-hmm. and we can turn off your money.
Total control on all levels. I understand. Now, how is today the state of resistance against the introduction of the vaccine passport?
So we see many protest crowds come out in Australia, around Europe, less in the United States, against these.
Even in Israel, I believe, no?
Right. So we see people in the street who understand the danger and are protesting. We see lots of state legislatures in the United States fighting these. But what I believe is there is not a clear and compelling understanding in the population of what these really are. These are a way of converting your home into literally, you know, a prison.
You mean now specifically the vaccine passport question, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. You think there's not enough understanding what the implications of this
right.
mean?
And particularly when behind it comes CBDCs. We're just about to mail in January our big publication, we had John Titus write a piece on CBDCs.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to take the financial system all digital. And when they do, you know, combined with the vaccine passports, it's a complete control system.
Yeah, yeah. And the pre-step to get there is organized revolutions about national governments so that they break down and then you have this all-controlling digital financial system.
So let me give you an example. So I'll just use a personal example. So we have a website at the Salieri Report, and we take subscriptions. We've had the same payment provider since 2008. They've been our payment provider, and we've had a subscription service since 2008. And, you know, we've made minor changes in the, you know, we went to print and digital, you know, but it's the same business, the same subscription for now 13 years, okay? So last month, so 5 months ago, our online payment provider said, we reserve the right to review your content, and if we disapprove of your content, we reserve the right to charge you fees for doing due diligence.
Who is this authority? He's
our online payment provider, PayPal.
PayPal.
Right.
So they started to censor.
They started to create the conditions so mm-hmm. they could censor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They changed their terms and conditions. And they sent the terms and conditions and they said, we've made changes in our terms and conditions. So I drilled down and drilled down, and it took me 30 minutes to get to what they were really up to. So then in December, they came, they sent us a note and they said, we think your sales activity is suspicious. And we reserve the right to cap your sales at this amount. Now, the amount they set was 50% of our sales January. If you look at our sales last January, the amount they were capping our sales at was 50%. So we called them up and said, what is suspicious about our sales? You see every invoice, and you have since 2008, and our products and services haven't changed. What is suspicious? They couldn't answer the question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, yesterday, they impounded our account balance. They said on the last day of the year that it had gone over the cap. 21 business days from now, on January 27th, we have to write them a letter asking if they'll release that money to us. Now, 5 months ago, we instituted a program called, it was 4 months ago, but when the censorship started, we came up with a program called Cash and Coin. And we've been asking our subscribers to move to the Cash and Coin program and, you know, basically move out of PayPal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if they move out of PayPal to a credit card, that helps us. So far, 600 subscribers have moved to Cash and Coin, which is very, very helpful. But in January, we have to get more than half of the recurring subscribers to move to Cash and Coin,
yeah.
or else PayPal will steal the money again.
Yeah.
Now, will we get it back? I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah.
But
are you telling these things to your subscribers openly?
Yeah. So we just sent a note. We just sent a mailing and said, you know, we've sent two in the last week, and
yeah.
we'll send more. But we keep communicating to them. Now, we've done a campaign for 4 or 5 months called Cash Friday, where we're encouraging them to use cash on Friday, and if they can, every day. Because what we're trying to do is move away from digital.
Mm-hmm.
People, you know, not everybody has time to go lobby their state legislators, but that would help. Because we can stop this with the, you know, with legislation and in the courts.
Yeah.
But anything you can do, and the one thing we all have to do is say no. If a restaurant wants a QR code for us to come in proving we're vaccinated, just say no. I don't care whether you're vaccinated or not, or you've had a test or not, just say no. So I refuse to, and it's interesting, I don't know if I told you this, I've been turned out by two restaurants because I didn't have a QR code.
Yeah, yeah.
And each time, it was a magical experience. I had thought I would be frustrated by it. I wasn't frustrated. The first one, I thought, oh, I wonder what they're putting in the food. If you look at all the problems with nanoparticle and synthetic food.
But, you know, to link with what we talked about earlier, this illustrates the necessity for freeing the mental, spiritual life from all economic interests in a future society. There is no censorship.
Well, you need the economy to be run separate from the law. In other words, law cannot be a function of price.
Yes.
The law is the law, and the economy, you know, and BlackRock should not be allowed to rule. Now, it's interesting, the mandates, there's been a huge back off in mandates in the last week in the U.S. Mm-hmm. It's because it's cutting into corporate profits. You know, so I'm not saying that we shouldn't be sensible about the economy, but the law should be the law and should not be subject to compromise.
You should have a free expression. If any company like PayPal thinks you have a critical content, they mix themselves into something which is not the right. This is not their
right
affair.
But here's what we need. What we need is that I, as a person, say, you know, and we've tried to communicate because we also have ISPs who censor us. So if
what
it's
is ISP?
Internet service provider.
Okay.
So we've written about it. We've had just unbelievable problems with AT&T.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who in my, you know, I've had a lot of personal, very negative experience with AT&T, you know, which has persuaded me that AT&T is literally at the one of the top corporations in central control. But if you what we've said to subscribers, please don't use companies that are trying to censor your content.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you signed up with the Saleri Report, and you're paying us money to get this content.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't sign up using an email from a company that's trying to stop you from accessing the content you've paid for.
Exactly.
And the same with PayPal. So we all need to be able to say, if a company does that, we're out.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to, you know, we need to revive and reinvigorate boycotts. If a company censors the content we want, whether it's an ISP or a payment provider, we're out. So, you know, this is why we have to use cash, and this is why we have to build more local economic resilience.
Makes much sense, because this is unbearable, that censorship creeps in through these methods that you described.
Right.
That's inacceptable.
Well, here's the thing. If you look at the surveillance system that all these companies have helped to implement that are coming in through your TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have a TV. I don't own one. And a lot of people I know, when the digital TVs came out, got rid of all their TVs. And one of the reasons, if you read the terms and conditions, if you use it, you give them permission to literally videotape you in your home or record you in your home.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine. And you know, so they have built this surveillance grid that is turning our homes from our castle into, you know, a 24-hour surveillance box. And this, you know, and I've watched on the financial side this covert system develop of control. So somebody loses their job. The next thing you know, they've got a credit card offer from Chase with a 30% interest rate, and the drug dealer's at their door.
You see, that's...
And it's all coordinated by the digital technology.
So you could say this is all absolutely purely anti-Michaelic, because it's the Alemannic powers, our power, who won't control it.
Right, but here's the key to the vaccine passport. You put the vaccine passport in, and this whole covert system, which is operating quietly and secretly, can snap into overt blossom.
Mm.
And the speed at which the control network can go forth, think of this as like the last piece that makes the system go. And all this, you know, covert stuff has been building and happening. But now, once they put the passport in place, they've got you by the short hairs, they have complete control.
Right. So what are the best methods to fight acceptance of this passport?
The first thing you have to do is not comply. I don't care if the QR codes right now say it's okay, you know, if you have a test.
Mm-hmm.
You need to just say, no, I'm not going to play that game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be part of the digital concentration camp, no.
Mm-hmm.
And if enough people just refuse to use it, it'll break down.
The term digital concentration camp might invite some harsh criticism.
Tough. When have I ever shrunk from criticism?
You're aware of that. Abuse of the concentration.
No, it's not abuse. Absolutely.
I think it's right, of course.
Yeah, it's absolutely
right. They might fight that bit of because they don't know. If you call a spade, as Shakespeare said, that's not very popular. I think it's accurate.
Right.
Digital concentration camp.
Right, but my job is to tell my subscribers and audience the truth.
Yes. Good.
That's, you know, I'm not into views. I'm not. You know, there's news, there's entertainment, and then there's intelligence. Our job is intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
So our job is not news, our job is not entertainment, and you know me.
Also, the news, your job might be entertaining sometimes, which is not a sin, is it?
Well, but here's the thing. I want you to have the intelligence you need so you can turn the aircraft carrier before it hits the iceberg.
Yeah, exactly.
And you have to hear it early enough so that you can act and do something about it.
Yeah, totally agree.
Right. So
that's why it's good to have people who smell the false thing already from far distance.
Well, you have all these articles going around, oh, they're building camps and they're going to put the unvaccinated in a camp. That's a complete distraction. I'm not saying that they're not building camps someplace. That's a distraction from the fact that they're building digital concentration camps in every home and every community on the planet. And if you don't see that trap, you're going to fall in it.
Right. Good. I think these are the essentials for the moment.
Okay, well, use cash. You know, de-digitize your life is the thing, but don't comply.
Yeah. And then you're also best prepared for the time that maybe the digital things won't function for a couple of weeks, maybe.
Right.
Huh? Then all people have a great life crisis who have no inner alternative.
Well, but we need to be prepared for going a couple of weeks without food or a couple of weeks without energy.
Yes.
Right. But the other thing is,
if we're
going to have food that has integrity or energy that has integrity or shelter that has integrity, we're going to need to create networks of people who have integrity who provide those things.
Yeah. So we're working on that. You see our community, our little one has people who are thinking like that.
Mm-hmm.
We met two yesterday and there are quite a few.
Right.
So that's concrete.
Okay.
Thank you, Catherine. That was...
Thank you, Tom.
A good New Year's.
So, 12 days.
Yeah.
12 important intentions for the coming year.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Mirroring the whole zodiacal 12-foot. Yeah. So wonderful to have this here.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Happy New Year. And just remember, don't ask if there's a conspiracy if you're not in one. This is the year to start one.